I invite you now to hear the word of the Lord from the 37th chapter of the book of the prophet Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' Thus says the Lord God to these bones, 'I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." May God bless the reading and hearing of these words of Holy Scripture. Mortal, can these bones live? I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. These words spoken to the prophet Ezekiel serve as the bookends of a dramatic and jarring divine encounter. The scene is well situated in this spooky month. A valley filled with dry, dry bones. But friends, this is not a random assortment of anonymous skeletons. Indeed, the Lord God tells the prophet whose they are. These are the bones of your people, the whole house of Israel, the whole community of faith. These bones belong to you. A dusty, deadly desert filled with lost friends and former glory, dry bones. The context of this passage is collective grief at shared loss. The question that God asks Ezekiel is both urgent and utterly unsettled. For this shadowed valley is the quintessential vision of human disaster. We know this valley. For some of us, it is a passing place of temporary pain, a way station on the wilderness journey. But for others, the valley is home. The conditions chronic, the pain permanent. For all of us, recent months have drawn us into this canyon of chaos in newly distressing ways. We have seen the power of death on display, both in the untimely and incalculable ceasing of human life and in the brokenness that reveals those more subtle deaths that divide, distract, and seek to destroy the hope that is within us. We know this valley, and we know it better than we once did. Mortal, can these bones live? I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. The bookends of a divine encounter, the space between them is the journey of our days, the context of our ministry. What does life look like between the question and the promise? What is the mission of the church, of a church, of our church in this zone of the unknown, this arena of liminality, this gap in time and distance in space where we have been living as a congregation, as a nation, and as a world for months? It is commitment time here at Second Presbyterian Church. Depending on your particular church background or personal history, you may be more familiar with the term stewardship. Regardless of the descriptor we may use, these 3 weeks mark an annual season in the life of our congregation that is tuned to intentional reflection on what has been, to bold dreaming about what lies ahead, and to prayerful discernment about the role each of us has to play in God's vision for our community of faith. Each year, we take a little time to tend to these important tasks in our life together. Each year, I, your preacher, seek faithful scriptural ways to remind us all of the theological and practical importance of the financial giving that enables the vital, vibrant ministries of this church. Each year, I attempt to say with as much eloquence as I can muster that second depends on your taking responsibility for its future, doing your part to continue its story. You're believing this place matters enough to commit to it. And each year in the spring, I pray for the clear emergence of a thematic focus that will inspire and motivate. And in the spring of this year, I had a wonderful theme selected. Crisp. Clear, compelling. But as it has done to so many of our plans, 2020 threw me a curveball. And so with the wonderful partnership of our commitment committee, we discerned that the call of the church, of our church, in the fall of 2020 is to begin again. More to come on that. But before we can fully explore what this new beginning might mean, there is a question that I believe we must face. Can these bones live? question invites honest, vulnerable soul-searching. Question goes to the heart of who we are. These bones belong to you. What of life is left within them? After all, they're good bones, solid bones, but they've aged quite a bit. Depleted by the decades. Still, the question beckons. What is begging to be born in this pile of bones? What is waiting expectantly for a burst of new life? The prophet responds to the divine question with words of prayerful expectation. O Lord God, you know. And this is precisely when miraculous movement begins in our text. It happens when this human agent of divine wonder speaks hope into the valley of despair, speaks life into the shadows of death. Prophesy, mortal, speak to the bones. Tell them that there is yet work for them to do, life for them to live, joy for them to experience. Prophesy, mortal, to the bones and watch them come to life. God could have used any means of restoration, but the choice of the sacred is to empower the human voice, as a channel for divine truth. Speak, mortal. Only then does life begin to stir in those old bones. Friends, the core theological conviction of our faith, the reason we get together and worship, is the belief in a God who brings life out of death. As Luke Powery, Dean of Duke Chapel, writes on this passage, the walking dead, zombies, do not halt resurrection because being dead is fertile soil into which the Spirit can breathe new life. In other words, death is the context for resurrection. As a resurrection people, we cling to the spirit of renewal even as we release what we no longer must carry and make room for what God has in store for us. We who worship and seek to follow the risen Christ know deep in our souls that those dry bones can live, yes, but only if the Spirit of God is breathed afresh into the valley of death. Some years ago, I attended worship with a friend of mine who invited me to visit his church. I don't remember the sermon title that day, but I know it included the word resurrection, and I remember that it was during the season of Easter. And so it surprised me that morning when the preacher began to explain to us who had gathered that the gospel stories of resurrection were to be understood as metaphors rather than actual historical events. The preacher told us that these were stories made up by Jesus' disciples to account for his untimely death, that we were to receive them in that spirit as analogies for life, like spring coming after the winter. About that time, I heard a voice from several rows behind me, quiet at first, but slowly gaining strength. As she continued, I could make out the words, and I recognized them immediately, the words of the Apostle Paul. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. Now, I don't generally recommend interrupting sermons, but this was a worship moment I will never forget. So let me be clear. If we do not believe that God is capable of raising life out of death, then the Church of Jesus Christ has nothing to offer. In a context, a culture, a country that looks increasingly like that valley of dried up bones. But if this proclamation of resurrection is the heart of our message, then ours is an essential voice of prophetic and pastoral power in precisely this time. You know where I stand. I trust that the breath, the wind, the spirit, the ruach of God can, does, and will resurrect the bones of what has been, creating a future of what might become. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And so this promise must become our North Star. For the Church of Jesus Christ is exactly that, the Church of Jesus Christ. It does not belong to us, to you, to me, to anyone. We belong to God. Our essential task, our only task, is to be faithful stewards of the gifts of Christ and the mysteries of God. Standing surrounded by the dry bones, this liminal moment of both loss and potential invites us to ask what that means in new and exciting ways. That is, where is the Spirit of God calling us to let go of our tired assumptions and risk something to find new life? In what ways are we called by God right now to risk something significant for the sake of the mission that God has given us? I serve on the board of a faith-based institution a few years older than Second Presbyterian Church, like us, blessed with good bones, rich history and tradition, and, like our church, blessed with an endowment. As with all such institutions, leaders have been asking hard questions this year. Questions about financial sustainability in the face of pandemic losses. Questions of core mission in a time of chaos. Questions about our role in the work of justice and equity. At our board meeting this spring, reports from staff and committees spoke to all these swirling concerns. And after a particularly daunting financial report, we took up as a board discussion on budget cuts. It was then that a member of the board raised his voice, I think for the first time in my 3 years serving with him. He spoke softly, his words a bit muffled and shaky, his eyes cast down on the Zoom screen. But his point was abundantly clear. He said, "My family has loved this place for 4 generations. This institution is in our hearts, our souls, our giving. Now, I could get into trouble for this, but it's how I feel, so here I go. I would rather see us fulfill our mission for the next 5 years than last another 50 if it means avoiding what God is calling us to do now." With that, he pressed the mute button. But suffice to say, his words reframed our conversations. Can these bones live? It is time, I think, for asking the kinds of questions that might get us into trouble. For taking not cautious but bold steps. For balancing our customary Presbyterian prudence with the kind of courage that might tug at us right now, that whispers in the middle of the night that this is your one chance at life on this earth. Don't wallow in the valley of dusty bones and miss it. Can these bones live? Like the ancient prophet, we can't say for certain. Only God knows. We see through a glass dimly in the best of times. And in our times, it is as if someone has turned out the lights on the other side of the glass. And yet there is this promise. And yet God has promised a spirit of life. To refuse to receive it is to reject resurrection. To choose to accept it is to join God on a journey that is sure to transform us all. We'll lose some things and we'll grieve the loss. After all, redemption does not come without real cost. But the abundant life that awaits us is, I believe, worth it all. So in this liminal space, and in that new day that will surely dawn in God's time, let us serve Christ without fear. Let us follow the one who brings life into even the deepest valleys of driest bones. Let us trust the Spirit whose will for all creation is renewal, is redemption, is resurrection. Let us prepare ourselves and our church for the breath of God that whispers and then shouts, "Begin again." Amen.